welcome to episode 688 of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is an Aftershock Monday episode, going to be continuing my breakdowns of my favorite Aftershock title of all time, Replica, from our writer Paul Jenkins. We have art by the incomparable Andy Clark, and colors by Dan Brown, with letters by Clayton Cowles. So just a quick reminder what Replica is all about. It follows the detective Trevor Churchill. He is basically the head detective, lead detective on an international space station, or an intergalactic space station, I should say, called the Transfer, that was found by some of the galaxy's first explorers. And there's literally millions of alien species living on this space station. And it's a big melting pot in the galaxy. And Trevor is charged with keeping peace, keeping order, doing murder investigations and the like. And you can imagine just how challenging and difficult that can be when some of these species don't understand human law, human customs, but for whatever reason, the powers that be have decided that the transfer of the station will be under Terran law. And again, I mean, some of these laws don't necessarily apply, or because of different physical attributes that different aliens have, and, you know, language barriers and all that stuff, it's a challenge. And not only is it a challenge for Trevor to enforce these laws, it's a challenge for him to work with a lot of the colleagues in the police department on the station, because they themselves don't understand Earth language, Earth custom, and that sort of thing. So Trevor makes the ill-advised decision to clone himself. He's like, man, I just want one person that I can trust, one person that kind of understands what I'm saying. Unfortunately, the cloning procedure goes completely haywire, and Trevor ends up with not one clone, but 50 clones. And on each issue, we see that number clone. So issue 2 is focused on clone number 2. Issue 3 that I'm about to cover, has clone 3 on the cover. Issue 4 will have clone 4 on the cover and such. And the cool thing about these clones is they're all different aspects of Trevor's personality. So number 2 is kind of the administrative, organizational aspect of Trevor's personality. So he's the one that's in charge of paperwork and kind of organizing all the rest of the clones. We find out in this issue that the clone number 3 is sort of a slacker, for lack of a better term, is what Trevor calls him. Kind of a hippie, so to speak. And he's the clone that's in charge of forensic analysis. So the issue starts out with Trevor saying, kind of giving us an intro, reminding us who he is. My name's Detective Trevor Churchill, and I'm in kind of a tough spot. I just lost the prime witness in an interstellar murder case. Introduces us to number 2, who wants to be known as Roger, and comments that he's been acting very strange lately. And the other two people in the room with them are, as Trevor says, the most annoying people on the transfer. In no particular order of stupidity, we've got number 3, Trevor's forensic analyst, and Vorgas, who is Trevor's alien partner, who takes things a bit literally and is also dumb as a box of rocks with the rocks taken out. To quote Trevor from an earlier issue. So Trevor's trying to talk to 3, saying, I'm asking that you work with me here, 3. 3, are you listening to me? And 3, who's sitting in the lotus position, smoking something, and he has a bong in front of him. Meanwhile, Vorgas is eating some strange-looking brownies. And 3 kind of peeks out of the corner of his eye, saying, man, you're complete Dullsville, Trevor. Lighten up. We're trying to establish harmonic resonance here. And Trevor's like, this is not negotiable, you backward-ass hippie. I need a forensic analysis done now. And 3 is like, wait, what? Why are you on my case all the time? Trevor says, I'm not on your case. It's your job. You were genetically programmed to be my forensics expert. Like, get on it. And 3's response is, hey, man, I didn't ask to be cloned from a total square. And Trevor says, yeah, and I didn't ask them to clone me into a beatnik. So are you going to do your job or not? And then Trevor turns to Vorgas and says, why are you still eating those brownies? You don't have any idea what's in them. And Vorgas says, no, but they are most delightful. To which Trevor responds, yeah, well, you know what? They're about to reveal their secret ingredient. And then he literally dumps the box of evidence on Three's head and says, report, my desk, end of the day. And so Three says, fine, what is this stuff anyway? And Trevor says, it's evidence. Evidence connected to the guy that just tried to kill me and Vorgas. I need you to cross-reference the DNA sample, find out who it was. I want results. I want them tonight. And Trevor says, Two, you're coming with me. And Two, again, seeming distracted, huh, what? Meanwhile, Three says, okay, Daddy-O, throw it on top of the pile. Trevor says, pile? Which pile? You've got piles all over the place. He says, take your pick. To which Trevor responds, how about I pick one to throw you on? So as Trevor and Two reach, head for the door, Vorgas falls in step behind him, holding up his hand, saying, Trevor, I have a practical question, if I may. Does anyone else see this fish? Yeah, it's safe to say that the brownies are affecting Vorgas, and what was in the brownies are affecting Vorgas. And he kind of spends the rest of the issue walking around looking at his hand, like he's holding some sort of fish in it. So as they leave Three's quarters, Trevor's saying, man, I hate that guy. What's wrong with this picture, Two? Two says, wait, what picture? Trevor says, the situation, him. And Two says, who? Trevor says, Two, you've been acting really weird lately, buddy. I'm talking about Three, of course. How did I end up with that slacker? And Two says, well, if we all are parts of your personality, there must be a part of your personality that's a slacker. And Trevor looks around, you know, at the rest of the precinct, all these clones of him standing around, different versions of him. And he points to the one that's scarfing down donuts and says, how is that a lard ass, an aspect of my personality? Look at him. He's binge eating right now. And it's number 14. And he turns around and says, what? And Trevor's had it. He's like, man, if you guys are all aspects of me, then you know what? I think I must be a complete asshole. And you almost wonder that they, all the clones don't start like agreeing with them, like clapping or applauding. But instead, no one really seems to be paying much attention except for 50, who apparently is the janitor. And Trevor says, oh, no, not you, 50. You're doing a great job, buddy. Really good work. I meant all the rest of these assholes. And 50 starts sweeping up long enough to just say, it's Kevin. So meanwhile, Trevor's like, all right, Two, let's take stock. What do we got? Where are we at with this investigation? Two says, okay, Three's on the forensics. 5 and 38 are over at the Jolden Embassy. 6 and 48 are on surveillance. And 19 pulled us a lead on some activity over at the Scarlet Consulate. And Trevor says, okay, that's good. We can rely on those guys. Roger goes on to say, 16's laying some groundwork with the Vinnies, 21's at a press conference, 9 called in sick, everyone else present and accounted for. Meanwhile, we see Vorgas in the background, still staring at his hand, apparently still looking at this this fish. So Trevor's like, okay, what about me? What's on my agenda? And Two, a little reluctantly, says, well, we are supposed to have a follow-up meeting with Queen Kaya and Ambassador Briville. And, And Trevor's like, yeah, what? And Two said, well, there was a little bit of a mix-up last time. Trevor does not like the sound of that, gets a scowl on his face and says, what kind of mix-up? Meanwhile, over at the Jolden Embassy, we see 5 and 38 kind of talking over strategy. And 38 says, okay, the Jolden are difficult to communicate with, but they're honest to a fault. So why don't we just ask them who did it, Quaz? And clone number 5 says, that would create a difficult legal entanglement. So just follow my lead. Maybe we can use their traits to our advantage. And don't call me Quaz, please. And the reason he's calling him Quaz is short for Quasimodo, because he apparently has some sort of deformity when he got cloned. And half of his face is pretty badly misshapen, almost looks elephant man-esque. So He turns to the Juldans that are assembled there and says, "Representatives of the Juldan Empire, I come before you under the command of Precinct Commander Stolte. By authority of Terran law, one of your number, now deceased, stands accused of murder, and I'm legally bound to ask if any of you have any information pertaining to this event." Now, we know that the Juldans communicate by flashing messages on their little pods that they use to sustain themselves, since they're an aquatic species. And the message that is presented on all the pods is a question mark, with the exception of one who displays an exclamation point instead. So 38 takes that as a sign and says, "Well, it looks like we have a winner." Meanwhile, outside the Scarlet Consulate or Embassy or Stronghold or whatever it is, we see 6 and 48 are keeping them under surveillance. We know 6 is the tech expert, and 48 apparently is similar to 12, kind of gung-ho, militaristic, and 48 even has himself a mohawk. So as he's looking through the binoculars, he says, "What am I looking at?" And 6 responds, "Well, it's the Scarlet Consulate building." He said, "I know that. What am I on the lookout for?" He says, "Just keep watching. Imagine you're looking at an anthill, only these particular ants know our every move because they keep hacking into our surveillance." And so 48 continues to look, and then he says, "Wait, all of a sudden they just went apeshit. What went down?" And 6 says, "Well, I just rerouted their hack into those glasses. So now they're watching us, watching them watch us, watching them. Meta, baby." So back to Trevor and Roger. They're in the tent with Queen Kaya and Ambassador Brivel. And apparently, 2 has just told Trevor what he did, which was basically have sex with the queen. And he says, "You did what?" And 2 says, "It wasn't my fault. I didn't know what to do." And Trevor says, "Okay, you didn't know what to do. And you figured in lieu of a solution, you'd consent to have sex with the queen of an entire planet." And 2 says, "Well, you know, shortness is highly prized in their culture. I didn't want to offend her." And Trevor said, "Well, I'd say it's a little bit late for that." And at their feet, by the way, because they're sitting on this giant couch, because the queen and her species are much larger. They're not like huge or fat or anything. They're just of bigger stature. And at the feet of Trevor and Roger is Vorgas, still looking at the fish, or what he imagines to be a fish. Meanwhile, Ambassador Brivel is saying that their sources confirm that the Qatarian emissary's murder is linked to Scarlet activity in the quarter. They've been unable to figure out why they want the Juldan to be concerned about it, or why they want the Juldan to claim responsibility. And meanwhile, the queen is kind of waving at Roger, apparently remembering their encounter fondly. Roger's waving back with one little pinky. I guess he's reminding her of his stature, so to speak. Trevor's looking on and scowling. The ambassador goes on to say that interstellar politics are unrivaled in their complexity, and there's perhaps a number of factors at play. He talks about how the Scarlet will change their laws at whim to get what they want. And Trevor says, "Wait a minute, you're telling me the Scarlet can gerrymander areas of authority in the transfer just by changing their planetary laws?" And the ambassador says, "Yes, and unfortunately it's illegal. They're using our own policies against us." And Trevor says, "Well, why can't we do that?" And the ambassador says, "Well, because the Scarlet are more unified than us. It would take us forever to get that done, basically. And they're also far less ethical than we are. We know that that's not the right way to do things." And so Trevor says, "Okay, well, my sources tell me it has something to do with a space rock called Zulch. Have you guys ever heard of that?" And that gets the queen's attention. She's like, "What? The Zulch? Are you sure?" And Trevor's like, "Well, how many Zulches are there?" And the ambassador explains the significance. He says, "Just one. And there's 67 survivors. They've applied for full planetary status. And now I fear I understand the nature of the Scarlet's involvement. They want access to the machine interfaction section of the transfer." And what the machine interfaction section of the transfer is, it's a part of the transfer that's off limits and forbidden. Apparently there's some very highly advanced machine life there, AI, whatever, when those explorers that I mentioned at the beginning of the episode discovered the transfer when they were out exploring space for the first time. This space station's huge, and anyone who went into that section that they call the machine section disappeared and was never seen from again. But there was the transfer so huge, there was so much other usable space, they just figured, hey, we're just going to go ahead and use the rest of the station. And no one knows what is over in the machine section. But the belief is that it's the race that actually built the station, and they have highly advanced technology. And it's that technology that the Scarlet probably want to get their hands on. So Trevor does not want to hear this. In fact, that's exactly what he says. I didn't hear that. Puts his hands over his ears. And the ambassador says, of course you did. He said, nope, I didn't hear that either. No machines. And the ambassador's trying to talk to Trevor. He's got his fingers in his ears saying, la, 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 la. While the ambassador says, I believe the Scarlet covet the interfaction technology. And it was thought that the Zolch were the first and only culture that's ever had contact with the machines in ancient times. So the Scarlet are probably trying to get information. So we need to send someone in to try to communicate with the interfaction. Trevor stops long enough saying la 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 to take his finger out of his ears and turn to two and say, wait a minute. No one's ever gone into the machine section and come back out. Can we send Vorgas? And two says, not unless we want to start a thermonuclear war. And it seems like Trevor's, okay, let's take this seriously. Who have we got? And Roger says, well, what about 38? Trevor's response, too valuable. 11, he's an idiot. 12 can go. And so Trevor says, Ambassador, Your Royal Highness, we need a little time to set this up. We think we have a suitable candidate to go and try to make contact with the machines. And as they turn to leave, the Queen waves by to Roger, who's following Vorgas out the door of the tent. Vorgas still looking at the fish. And as Trevor walks by the Queen, she gives him a smack on the butt, saying, attaboy, detective. On the next page, we see 12 quite gung-ho to head into the machine section of the transfer. He says, I got this. I was born for this. He's smearing eye black on his face. And Trevor reminds him that technically he was grown in a vat and not born. And 12 says, whatever, same difference. I understand the mission. And Trevor says, be sure that you do. The mission's to get in and get the hell back out. We're tracking you every step of the way. So as he heads in, 6 gives him a little surveillance module. He says, we'll keep tabs on you with this. I found a way to reverse polarity on the quantum energy that the interfaction uses to guard their access ways. So once you get in, the surveillance system's going to start arguing with its own power supply, and you'll basically be invisible, but we'll be able to track you. And Trevor reminds him, hey, when you get there, remember, we just want to talk to them. And remember that things can get ugly in a hurry if you're caught, because Breville and the Fornix and everybody's going to disavow any knowledge of our actions. So 12 says, I got it. Okay, leave a light on for me. I'll be back before breakfast. So he grabs the little surveillance capsule, climbs into the access point, says, no compromises, no survivors. Trevor's like, wait, what? And meanwhile, 6 is tracking him on his little tech pad there, saying he's in. Oh my god, he's actually inside interfaction territory, and they're actually able to track him. And right as he says that, zap, pad overloads. 6 looks at Trevor and says, oh boy. Meanwhile, back at the precinct, Roger has just found out that they did send 12 in, and he's not happy about it and says, you did what? Trevor says, well, it seemed like a good idea at the time. It's not like I don't have 48 other clones to spare. To which Roger responds, oh, that's charming. He says, hey, man, no offense intended, but 12 was the best guy for the job, and we had to try it. And 2 says, what? So he could get killed in 4 seconds? Trevor says, we don't know that he was killed. Maybe he's in there now talking to him. And Roger just, he does not think this was a good idea. What were you thinking? You could start an interstellar incident. And Trevor says, so what? It'd be like the third one this week. 2 says, boss, this makes no sense. I told you this was an inside job. You didn't listen to me. And we see a quick panel inserted there, which shows that the Scarlet are tapped in and they're watching over the security cams, as Two reminds Trevor that the machines have been dormant for hundreds of thousands of years, and they didn't just decide to get involved in the garbage that goes on in the other parts of the station. So they need to follow this Zulch angle, whatever it is. He really thinks they're onto something and someone doesn't like it. And Trevor says, "That's what I'm planning, buddy." And at that moment, Three shows up and says, "Hey, I got some news. You're going to be zonked in the head when you hear this. The DNA profile actually matches Trevor. So it's one of his clones that tried to murder him and Vorgas." But before Trevor can actually kind of digest that information, the precinct is attacked, and all the clones arm up really quickly. They start firing back, and they can't really tell who they're fighting against. Meanwhile, there's some kind of gravity shielding going on, and Trevor's telling them, "Hey, just be sure we protect the Zuldan witness that 38 and 5 brought in, because they're not about to lose another witness." Trevor says, I cannot lose another one of these guys, and keep Vorgas away as well. So Roger's thinking, "You see what we did? You pissed them off." He thinks it's the machines attacking, and Trevor's like, "No, this is not the machines. It can't be." And Two says, "Well, who is it then? I don't recognize this technology." Trevor says, "I don't know, but again, we got to protect that witness at all costs. Can't afford to explain to Stolte, their boss, that they've lost another one." So Six is telling Trevor that it's some kind of gravity generator, and they basically have reverse polarity on the polarity reversal that the station uses for their defense. He says, "We need to get to the inner conduits and try to switch it off." And Trevor's like, "All right, here we go." And basically takes off into this morass of laser beams and lightning and smoke and debris that's floating around. And Roger's telling him, "Trevor, you can't. It's suicide." He says, "Nah, I'm a little busy. Six, you're with me. Veet, I need you to run point." And the three of them actually make it through this gauntlet of laser fire and floating debris and lightning. And once they get there, Trevor's like, "Okay, now what do we do?" And Six says, "I don't know." And Trevor's like, "What do you mean you don't know? You're supposed to be the tech expert." To which Six replies, "Yeah, but I didn't think we'd get this far." So Trevor has an idea. He says, "Veet, what about that thing you did that got us thrown out of the Qatarian consulate that time?" No, not that. She was legal. I mean, you discharged your excess energy all over their fruit punch. It was like him pissing in the punch, basically. And Six is like, "Oh my God, that's perfect. Energy discharge would be like pissing on their power lines." So Veet proceeds to do that. It causes some kind of overload, and we see all these floating weapons that were firing all these laser beams and disrupting gravity basically all explode. And Trevor's like, "Veet, you dirty little bastard, you just earned yourself a lube job over at Sally's." And then he turns to Six and says, "We need to find out who these guys are before we pissed on their parade. Find out who it is that's trying to stop our investigation." Two informs Trevor that they're good over there. The witness is still alive, which Trevor is surprised. Like, "Wait, you mean we actually came out good? Seriously?" And Three shows up then and says, "Yeah, but just to remind you about that DNA match, you're not going to like it." And Trevor says, "Define like." And Three reminds him, "Hey, the guy who killed the Qatarian emissary and our prime witness matches your DNA profile. So in other words, the killer is one of your clones." And we get the blurb of next foreplay. So issue 4 with clone number 4, who's kind of the Sherlock of all the Trevor clones. So a lot of moving parts, a lot of intrigue, a lot of politics going on, all set in the background of this crazy space station with these really fun, interesting characters. Vorgas walking around the entire issue, looking at his hand like it's some kind of alien fish. Speaking of aliens, you know, Roger had sex with one. Seems like Trevor's on his way to having some sloppy seconds from that, possibly. We've got 12. entering forbidden territory, all gung-ho to talk them to the machines. Meanwhile, 48 is spying on the Scarlet contingent, and they know that he's spying on them. So there's all these moving parts. There's all this intrigue, and it's all rendered beautifully by Andy Clark with some really detailed art. And I think I've mentioned this before. The other thing that's really interesting and challenging, and my hat's really off to Andy Clark for handling it so well, is the way he draws all these clones with the same face, and they all look the same. You know, they got the same color hair, this purple on top and green on the sides, purple eyebrows, same features, but yet he subtly alters their appearance so you can tell that they're different people, right? Other than just the tattoos on their forehead that kind of distinguish them. You know, they wear different outfits, and some have beards and some don't, and some have sideburns and some don't, and some are sort of balding and some aren't, some have mohawks and some don't. It's really quite something to see how Andy differentiates all the different clones. It's really, really cool. And it's such a just a really fun and cool concept. And again, Paul Jenkins does an incredible job on the dialogue and the scripting and just creating this fully realized world that is complex. And nobody draws science fiction comics better than Andy Clark, as I've said several times in the past. So I absolutely love this book and never get tired of reading it. I did hear some rumors that it will be coming back at some point, and in my opinion, it can't come back soon enough. So what I really need all you listeners to do is hit up Aftershock on Twitter and ask them, hey, when's Replica coming back? And make sure you pick yourself up a copy of Replica Volume 1 Trade Paperback, which collects all 5 or 6 issues that have been published to this point. Because if they see the interest in it, then we'll get it back sooner than later. Because as I said, I just can't wait. I really want more of the story. It's just really, really fun. So I'll cover issue 4 at some point on an upcoming Aftershock Monday. But that's going to do it for now. Again, I so recommend this. It gets my highest possible recommendation. It's one of my favorite comic series of all time. It's just so fun and interesting, and the art is absolutely amazing. So anyway, that's going to do it. Thanks for joining, as always, everybody. Please tell your friends about us. Subscribe and rate us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever platform you use. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, all past episodes of the podcast are available on all those platforms, as well as at lrmonline.com. While you're at the site, please be sure to check out all the other pop culture coverage of your favorite and upcoming movies and TV shows. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All 3 spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.